All right, well, it looks like we are all assembled. When we do rules petitions, it's always a challenge because we try to put everybody in the room, the justices and all of our speakers, but it looks like we are all gathered. The presenter for the first rule petition, 2008, which I now call, is Judge Martins. Judge Martins, are you ready to proceed?
I am, Chief Justice, thank you. May it please the court. It's an honor and a privilege to appear before you today, and on behalf of the Director of State Courts Records Management Retention Subcommittee, speak on behalf of Supreme Court Petition 20-08 pertaining to amendments to Supreme Court Rules 72.01 and 72.03 governing the retention of case files, court records, minute records, and exhibits. Again, my name is Kevin Martins, and I presided in Milwaukee County Circuit Court since 2001. Since 2002, I've served on the Records Management Forms Subcommittee, including acting as its current chair, and I'm familiar with the importance of standardization in the creation of forms entered into the court record. As a recent member of the Records Retention Subcommittee, I've come to appreciate the deep commitment and multidisciplinary approach that its members bring to the important post-form creation step of records retention policy and implementation. Members of the Records Retention Subcommittee include a court administrator, clerks of court, registers and probate, appellate staff attorney, an historical society member, and legal advisors from court operations. Their expertise is reflected in the quality of our meeting discussions and the careful thought that underlies the current petition. As stated in the cover sheet to the petition, its goal is to promote fairness, clarity, and consistency in the area of retention of court records. The Records Retention Subcommittee recognized the need to address issues, including retaining criminal and delinquency cases based on how they were disposed, clarifying retention periods for family cases, eliminating permanent retention of termination of parental rights and adoption case records, and promoting consistency in rules pertaining to exhibits, including those electronically stored. For purposes of today's discussion, it's necessary to reference a separate committee, the Wisconsin Circuit Court Access, or WCCA, Oversight Committee, whose work in the area of public viewing of case information is related to court record retention. Historically, cases have been publicly displayed on WCCA for the same length of time that records were retained by the clerk under Chapter 72 of the Supreme Court rules. In 2017, the WCCA Oversight Committee recommended changing that practice to allow for display periods in certain case types that differ from the record retention period for those case types. Although their work focused on display periods on the court system's website, that's an issue that our committee nonetheless must consider regarding the appropriate retention period for the actual court records themselves. In the meetings that leading up to this petition, the subcommittee decided to include additional requests designed to enhance consistency among Supreme Court rules and to update language to match technological changes in the two ways documents are filed, or in the ways that is, documents are filed with and retained by the courts. These include definitional changes and amendments to the rule governing retention of the verbatim record. The petition filed is detailed, and if adopted, would require edits to over 30 subsections. Mirroring the memorandum that supports the petition, I'll group the proposed changes into seven subject areas. The first proposal is, with very limited exceptions, to eliminate the word papers when referring to records retention periods throughout Supreme Court Rule 72.01 and instead use the term documents. The current rule refers to the paper record and sets forth retention periods for all papers deposited with the court in each case type. The reality, of course, is that through e-filing, the majority of cases now involve electronic submissions. Although paper documents may still be filed, and often are, by pro se parties, for example, those papers are scanned into the electronic record keeping system and pursuant to Supreme Court Rule 72.03, then discarded within 48 hours. using the term documents rather than papers encompasses all categories of records and conforms with actual record-keeping practices. The second category of proposed changes is one that I referenced earlier, which is to base case retention practices for criminal and civil forfeiture cases on the highest level of offense remaining at the time of disposition, rather than the severity of offense at the time of charging. Under the current rules, these case types are retained for varying periods depending on the severity of the most serious charge upon filing. For example, if a criminal case includes both a felony charge and a misdemeanor charge, and the defendant is convicted only of the misdemeanor with the felony dismissed, the case retention policy is still based on the felony charge, which may be 50 or even 75 years for Class A felonies, rather than the misdemeanor conviction, which would be a 20-year retention period. This is true even if the defendant is acquitted of all charges or if the entire case is dismissed. What the petition proposes is to base the case retention period on how the charge in the case or charges in the case are actually disposed. The case record retention period would follow the highest level of disposition of any charge in the case. So in the previous example, the defendant convicted of a misdemeanor with a felony charge dropped would be subject to a 20-year case retention period rather than 50 years. The subcommittee believes that this is a fair and logical way to retain records because the seriousness of the offense committed is best determined at disposition and not necessarily at charging. With few exceptions, a case displays on WCCA, publicly displays on WCCA, for its entire retention period, with commensurate effects on a person's reputation and ability to secure housing and employment. This should be based on determined rather than alleged facts. In cases where every charge is disposed of by acquittal or dismissal, the petition proposes that the records be retained as if the most serious charge in the case was the charge at disposition. Now, this may seem counterintuitive, but the subcommittee determined that it's at this point at least a practical necessity. Without a rule explicitly directing how these cases should be retained, clerks of court would not be able to determine whether the case should be retained as a felony, a misdemeanor, or forfeiture. Clerks need clear and consistent direction in applying record retention rules. CCAP has similar needs with regard to its programming. The subcommittee recognizes that this will mean that a person charged with a felony who has his or her entire case dismissed will be subject to a longer retention period than if he or she had been convicted of a misdemeanor. However, the impact of this longer retention period is significantly mitigated by the fact that the dismissed case will only display publicly on WCCA for 2 years. The third proposal in the petition addresses family maintenance, support, and paternity case records. The records retention period for these cases is currently either 30 years or 7 years after the final support payment or order terminating maintenance, whichever is later. Clerks, however, may have difficulty determining the applicable period because they may not know when support or maintenance payments are being made on an individual case or the date of final payment. We propose increasing the retention period for all such cases to 40 years after entry of final judgment or order. This would bring clarity and consistency to clerks and ensure that records would be kept for the longest period of time in which an action could be taken to collect child support, which by statute would be 20 years after the youngest child subject to a support order reaches the age of 18 or 19, depending on high school enrollment. The petition also proposes reducing the retention period from 5 years to 2 years for dismissed family and paternity cases. After 2 years, motion and appeal time limits will have expired, leaving little value to a longer retention period. This change would also be consistent with the existing retention rule for dismissed small claims cases. With regard to small claims cases, the petition does not propose making any changes to retention periods at this time. Currently, most such cases are retained for 20 years after entry of judgment or final order. Small claims cases that were dismissed and never joined and not disposed of by by a judgment or stipulation within 6 months of the return date are retained for only 2 years. I do understand that Legal Action of Wisconsin will be speaking on behalf of its letter, seeking much shorter retention periods for eviction cases, ranging from 21 days to 2 years, and a 10-year retention period for other non-money judgment cases. Although Legal Action does raise an important issue regarding potential barriers to housing, other factors, though, must also be considered. Because the Legal Action proposal was brought forward after the petition was filed, the entire subcommittee has not had opportunity to fully discuss the proposal. Given that timing, other interested groups, such as landlord or lessor associations, may also have lacked opportunity to provide comment. Also, keep in mind that in 2018, the Director of State Court's office addressed this issue by adopting a recommendation of the WCCA Oversight Committee to implement a policy limiting, again, the public display period for dismissed small claims actions on WCCA to 2 years. Existing case law also permits judges to order that the case file be sealed in appropriate circumstances for eviction cases. As noted in my letter, no other court records are currently retained for 1 year or less, and creating varying retention periods does undermine goals of clarity and consistency. And though this is on an initial review, it does appear that the proposal may impose a considerable administrative burden. I was advised that clerks of court purge records annually and will likely continue to do so even with shorter retention or shorter record retention periods, and that substantial programming changes would be required that would require clerk staff to enter multiple new data elements to small claims, to all small claims cases. Now, I say these things not in any way to minimize the issues raised by Legal Action, but it's simply to observe that the issue may be better addressed with additional vetting or perhaps even through a separate petition. The fourth proposed change in the petition affects record retention for termination of parental rights and adoption cases. Under the current rule, all documents for these case types are retained permanently. In the petition, it is requested that these documents be retained for 150 years. The subcommittee believes that this is an adequate length of time to protect the interests of those involved in parental termination and adoption matters. By statute, access to these types of records is limited by category of persons, which generationally does not extend beyond the children of the person subject to adoption or termination. 150 years should be long enough to preserve records for this purpose. After this period, clerks can offer records to historical societies or other groups that may wish to retain them. Also, no other case records are retained permanently under current rules, other than warrants and a federally mandated narrow category of delinquent franchise taxes. There does not appear to be any reason why the general disfavor for permanent retention should not apply to TPR and adoption records as well. The fifth proposed change is a very simple one, and that is to amend the rule governing the retention period for the verbatim record to match the updated definition provided in Supreme Court Rule 71.01 sub 3. This amendment simply updates the rule's cross-reference to that rule, and the retention period would remain unchanged. The court recently amended that rule to establish that the verbatim record is not limited to court reporter notes, but also includes stenographic reporting, voice reporting, monitored digital audio recording, or other formats approved by the Director of State Courts. Reporting practices have continued to evolve with technology that, with regard to the verbatim record, create practical issues with regard to record retention. The amendment simply clarifies what constitutes a verbatim record and makes it consistent with other Supreme Court rules. A sixth proposal in the petition would refine the retention rules for exhibits in felony, misdemeanor, and juvenile delinquency cases. Under the current rule, exhibits for each of these case types are retained for 20 years after entry of final judgment or until every person in custody in connection with the case has reached his or her discharge date. The current rule does not specifically or does not specify, that is, whether the retention period applies to the earlier or later of these dates. The petition proposes that exhibits in felony cases be retained for the later of 20 years after entry of final judgment or until every person in custody has reached his or her discharge date. It also proposes that exhibits in misdemeanor cases be retained for 10 years after entry of final judgment and in juvenile delinquency cases for 4 years after the child's 18th birthday. These proposals, again, provide clarity to clerks regarding the minimum retention period and tailors them by case type. In felony cases, it makes sense to have exhibits available for review at a minimum during the time a person remains in custody. In the subcommittee's view, this need outweighs the additional burden, if any, associated with retaining an exhibit if a person completes his or her sentence sooner than 20 years from judgment. A 20-year minimum retention period would capture a significant number of felony cases, thus reducing the effort required by clerks to identify those defendants still in custody who may be subject to the longer retention period. In misdemeanor cases, the subcommittee believes that a shorter retention period of 10 years is sufficient to protect the interests of the courts, defendants, and the public. It eliminates ambiguity, distinguishes misdemeanor cases from more serious ones, and virtually ensures that exhibits will be retained for the entire length of sentence. Finally, having a retention period in juvenile delinquency cases of 4 years after a juvenile reaches the age of 18 would make the juvenile retention rule, as with regard to exhibits, consistent with the Supreme Court rules governing the retention period for other juvenile case records. The seventh and final proposal in the petition addresses the retention period for filed papers and similar items once they have been properly stored electronically or optically. The current rule allows such a record to be destroyed 48 hours after the electronic or optic storage has occurred. It also applies the same 48-hour rule to documentary exhibits in non-criminal cases, criminal cases, and juvenile delinquency proceedings. The petition seeks to clarify the rule by expressly exempting original wills that are deposited with a court for safekeeping or deposited with the court where there is no estate to probate. Those items are subject to a 100-year retention period under Supreme Court Rule 72.01 sub 35 and sub 36. Those subsections are not referenced in the current rule governing electronic or optic storage. After hearing from registers and probate, the subcommittee wanted to eliminate any confusion for registers and probate and make clear to them that original wills should not be destroyed 48 hours after scanning. The petition recognizes that an original will may be optically or electronically stored, but expressly provides that it must also be retained under the 100-year retention period, or at least until that retention period has run. It also clarifies that wills admitted to probate may also, again, be electronically or optically stored, but that the original must be kept for 2 years after the case is closed. Finally, the petition also proposes amending the current rule to apply the same 48-hour rule for documentary exhibits to civil commitment cases. The subcommittee believes that the 48-hour retention period is appropriate and should apply to all documentary exhibits, excepting, of course, wills. This amendment simply cross-references another subsequently created rule addressing civil commitment cases. With that, I want to again thank the members of the Records Retention Subcommittee for the hard work that they put into this petition. And I'd also like to thank the court for its attention this morning and fulfillment of its important role in exercising authority over management of court records. On behalf of the subcommittee, I respectfully request that the court grant this petition to ensure that the rules governing record maintenance and retention are fair, logical, consistent, and incorporate technological innovations embraced by the courts. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Martins. I can see that this was a giant project that required a lot of attention to detail in many, many areas of our retention policies and the WCCA policies, So thanks to you and to all the members of your committee for the hard work you did to bring this matter before us so the court can carefully consider your petition. Before we move on to the next witness, does any member of the court have a question or questions for Judge Martins?
Chief Justice Rogasek, I do. Judge Martins, I echo what the Chief Justice said. Thanks for your hard work on this. I have two areas that I wanted to ask you about. The first is regarding the criminal charges that either end in an acquittal at trial or a dismissal. If I understand what you're saying, if there is a, if someone is charged with a felony and that case is dismissed as a felony, it will remain on the public site for 2 years. It will remain on the dashboard for, depending on what is it, 75 years for a felony or 50, depending on what it is. Is that, am I correct?
Correct, it's class A felonies 75 years, other felonies 50.
Okay, and it will remain on the public site for 2 years, is that right?
That's correct, and I understand that that's pursuant to the WCCA practice adopted by the director in 2018, I believe. It applies to, it's the criminal cases, felony and misdemeanor. I want to double check. It may also be forfeiture as well. And then also again to the category of small claims cases I referenced.
So, and my understanding is, and you might not be the guy for this question, because I know what you clearly have a lot of expertise in this. This might be a question for CCAP, but my understanding is from reading the response to the information that Legal Action provided, is that the reason that we can't just wipe clean a case after there is an acquittal or dismissal is because they update the system only once a year. Am I correct in that?
Well, I think you are in the main, but I don't know if that issue is specifically broken down between the small claims arena and the criminal arena. I mean, everything, you know, obviously when there's a change has to go through CCAP, and depending on what's required for the clerks may require some additional programming. That's about all I can say, because again, I think I'm certainly not an expert and I couldn't really describe further what sort of the technological issues are through CCAP.
Let me ask the question this way.
With regard to clerks, my understanding, at least when the question was sort of posed informally to get feedback, at least on the issue relating to small claims, was that, you know, again, these are minimum retention periods. So it's not mandated that, you know, whatever period we set that the clerk has to act on that very date or the next day to purge a record, that their practice would be to typically do it annually. Again, I think we probably want to solicit more information about clerk practices, but that at least is the practice of the clerks throughout the state.
Let me ask the question this way, because you've really rolled up your sleeve and gotten involved in this. Is it your understanding that that to go under 2 years is just impractical? I'm just concerned. I just feel like if a case has been acquitted or dismissed, we ought to get it off the public site as soon as practicable. And I am wondering, is 2 years, that's the best we can do?
Well, as it relates to the information that's on the public site, again, I don't think I can speak to that. That's, you know, that it's, as I said, related, but really is separate from our sort of, you know, court record retention policies and how long records are kept otherwise. I can only relay what the change in the practice was in 2018 and, you know, what I understand at least some of the rationale was, but I really can't speak much more beyond that. Could those practices be adopted or amended? I think like anything else they could, but I think it certainly want to consider carefully, again, exactly what that requires through programming and other means.
So let me then just, Chief Justice Rogasek, can I just ask a couple more questions on a different topic?
Sure.
Okay, as far as evictions then, I'm also concerned about evictions. And I understand that the proposal that was introduced again by Legal Action is, of only 21 days if an eviction is dismissed that was unworkable. So I guess my question to you is, what is the least amount of time you think we could have an eviction of that has been dismissed available on the public site? If you can, again, I don't know if you're the guy to answer that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I might be getting ahead of my skis a little bit if I started, you know,
fair enough,
proposing things on behalf of another committee. As I said, I just would remind you that, again, I'm not minimizing by any means the importance of the issue itself, as I hope I made clear. But it is something that, at least speaking on behalf of our subcommittee, we really haven't had a chance to sort of fully vet or address. It came in response to our petition. Our petition didn't propose any change, so we haven't had an ability as a subcommittee to meet to discuss what was proposed or to reach out further to try to gather any other information about it. So, you know, I really can't speak to that.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Chief.
Can I follow up on that then? Good morning.
Sure. Go ahead,
Martin. Just in terms of that last piece that you just said, is that something that, if we're concerned about, that perhaps it is best to have your subcommittee now take a look at it? And I'm not sure who's on the subcommittee, but perhaps there's some expertise here about what actually takes place as far as the clerks go, now that we're going paperless. And maybe, I don't know if CCAP is involved in that too, and maybe there can be a really robust discussion about what this would entail on your subcommittee. What do you think about that, Judge Martins?
We do have two clerks of court on our subcommittee, so they're obviously an excellent source to get information, and they can reach out through the Clerks Association, I assume, and talk to others as well. You know, the programming part is, again, such an important part of it, and you know, it's hard for me to say really much more than just the very limited information I was able to gather, you know, kind of informally, at least through a couple of our committee members, just so I'd have at least something to alert the court to as those types of issues. And again, one of them was, at least with regard to the programming, this notion that to set these different, and again, I want to be clear, I'm speaking to record retention, and again, I can't really speak to, you know, issues involving the public display through the WCCA website, but that those things do involve programmatic changes, which, you know, again, it's easy for, it's like my, you know, I try to remind myself of my court reporter, you know, whatever magic she does, she makes it work, and I can think it's easy or it looks pretty obvious to me, but it's not. There's a lot more that goes into it. I think those same issues at least exist here. I'm a new member. I think I am right now, in fact, still the newest member of our records retention subcommittee. So a lot of the discussion had been sort of fleshed out quite a bit by the time I came on. You know, if the question is, you know, does the subcommittee go back to review, you know, other issues? Obviously we do. In fact, I think the last time it was Judge Kiefer, I think, who had my seat on the committee and presented amendments to the rules regarding records retention in 2016, I think it was. So it's something that obviously is done. And, you know, when requests come in and issues arise, it's certainly, I think, our responsibility to sort of to take those things on.
And perhaps to get some feedback from CCAP as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Justice Ann Walsh Bradley, please.
Thank you. As a follow-up to the eviction questions, it wasn't clear to me, Judge, if you were recommending in your initial comments, my notes said that it may need more vetting and a subsequent petition for change regarding this. What's your recommendation to go forward with what is now in the petition regarding evictions that have been dismissed, the retention period, or is it your recommendation that it be further vetted?
Well, to be clear again, so I'm speaking on behalf of the Records Retention Subcommittee. We've made no proposal to amend the records retention periods or policies as it relates to the small claims eviction matters at this time. Again, that issue is being brought forward by legal action. I'm sure they'll quite ably speak as to the issue itself. So I'm not making any recommendation regarding that. I don't feel I can. I can't speak on behalf of the committee to say that we'd either support or necessarily oppose it. All I can do is just, again, sort of red flag some of those concerns on, just as we would with regard to all the other requests to amend that are in the petition, you know, sort of all the different avenues we have to go through and consider before we can ourselves at least take a position, and in this case, obviously make specific recommendations on amendments. So, and that means, again, vetting it through all the different committee members, going back and addressing the technology issues, trying to determine, again, the scope, perhaps, or breadth of an issue, if it's an issue that's only very narrowly being brought by maybe, you know, one group or very small number versus something that's kind of been a continuous issue that's popped up. You know, again, I think I can only reference back, as I said before, again, to 2018 and the fact that the director did, as I understand it, and again, I want to remember the committee, but in considering that specific issue with regard to small claims and evictions, made a judgment to deviate from what prior to then had been the practice. The practice was WCCA would put stuff on the public website for the same length of time as the records retention period was. They deviated from that in 2018 with regard to those small claims matters, and as I think we had discussed earlier, with regard to the dismissed or acquitted criminal matters.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, Attorney Susan Lund from Legal Action of Wisconsin.
Thank you. Good morning, and may it please the court. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I would also like to thank Judge Martins and the Record Management Retention Subcommittee for their important petition. I'm speaking today in support of the proposal to retain criminal and forfeiture case records according to the case disposition as opposed to the initial charging decision. My name is Susan Lund. I'm an attorney and supervisor of our employment unit at Legal Action of Wisconsin. My colleague, Corey London, a family and housing law attorney, will speak soon about the housing-related aspects of this petition. Legal Action of Wisconsin is the state's largest civil legal aid provider. We provide free legal services to low-income residents of the southern part of the state. The employment practice area I supervise specializes in removing legal barriers to family-sustaining employment. For that reason, I often speak to job seekers who are unable to find work due to old conviction records. Part of the reason conviction records are such a common issue for our clients is that during the last four decades, Wisconsin's prison population has increased by a staggering 700%. This increase has generally continued since the 1990s, despite reduced property and violent crime rates during this period. There are currently over 1.4 million people in Wisconsin with criminal records. Conviction records come with collateral consequences that are widely recognized as harming future employment prospects. One reason for these reduced employment prospects in Wisconsin is WCCA, the Wisconsin Circuit Court Access Program. WCCA is an important service, but there are significant downsides to providing free, instant, online access to conviction records for long periods of time. As Judge Martins described, the record retention period set by the Supreme Court rules dictates case display periods on WCCA in most circumstances. It makes sense that courts would retain and display case records according to the disposition in the case, as opposed to the original charging decision. This proposed change is in line with the logic of retaining more serious cases for longer periods of time. Such court policy decisions are supported by research, as studies show that reoffense rates vary based on the type of conviction, and that after approximately 7 years, past criminal legal system involvement becomes irrelevant for predicting future criminal involvement. Even though past criminal convictions become irrelevant to predicting future offense rates over time, studies suggest they continue to impact hiring decisions, especially when they are easily accessible online. For example, one study from the 1970s showed that employers had positive feelings about hiring individuals with conviction records, indicating widespread willingness to hire them. Over the decades, as more and more case information began to be easily accessible to the general public online, employers became less and less willing to hire individuals with conviction records. Researchers attribute part of this unwillingness to hire individuals with conviction records to employers' reported concerns about potential exposure to negligent hiring lawsuits. This employer perception seems to persist, despite the fact that such lawsuits are incredibly uncommon. Under Petition 2008's proposed changes, employers who need access to complete criminal histories will be able to access them with a minimal fee, as almost all already do. But third parties will be less likely to access old conviction information that is prejudicial to the subject and irrelevant to them. This proposed change will therefore likely benefit job seekers, but also employers who want to fill the job with the best qualified applicant and don't want to feel exposed to negligent hiring lawsuits. And because convictions are disproportionately concentrated in certain communities, people of color will hopefully see outsized benefits from this change, as Black men in particular have suffered outsized harms caused by trends towards mass criminalization. For these reasons, Legal Action of Wisconsin supports Petition 2008's proposal to stop retaining case records according to the charging decision and instead to retain case records according to the case disposition. Thank you again for your consideration.
Do any members of the court have questions for Attorney Lund? Okay, well, thank you very much. Attorney Corey London, again, Legal Action of Wisconsin.
Thank you, Chief Justice, and may it please the court. My name is Corey Lundeen. I'm an attorney in the Madison Office of Legal Action of Wisconsin. I practice housing and family law. I too thank Judge Martins, my colleague, Susan Lund, for the petition. My firm does support the petition as drafted. In particular, from the family law perspective, I think the changes in increasing the retention periods are a good one. I'm speaking in support of additional changes to the petition, which would dramatically reduce the court retention period times for eviction cases. We make this request because evictions are one of the most consequential interactions our citizens have with the civil justice system. Their landlord is asking an arm of government to remove them from their home. That is one of the most consequential things that can happen outside of the criminal justice system and in the civil justice system. Almost over 25,000 evictions are filed in Wisconsin every year. Most of those do not result in the tenant being evicted. Most result in an agreement being worked out, a landlord voluntarily dismissing the case, or many times a court dismissing the case, finding that it had been wrongfully brought. All of those cases can be used by landlords to deny somebody housing when they apply for rental housing. Landlords can and do refuse to rent to tenants who have had an eviction case filed against them, regardless of the outcome of the case. I can go to court. I can have a judge dismiss the case with prejudice to the landlord, find that it was wrongfully brought. My client will still be far more unlikely to find housing if they want to move than any other tenant. We're requesting these shorter retention periods to reflect what the levels can be as the end result of an eviction case. The shortest retention period of 21 days comes from the 20-day period for reconsideration that a landlord could file if the case is dismissed in 809.24. As the court is well aware, there's only a 15-day appeal period for an eviction actions under 799.445. So that 21-day retention period for cases where a landlord voluntarily dismisses the case and nothing happens, or a court dismisses the case in favor of the defendant and no money judgment is entered, nothing else happens in the case. There is no good reason for the court to retain that record, given the impact it will have on that tenant's ability to find housing. The purpose of having our strong open records laws is to see government oversight, how our court system works. In these cases where a landlord shows up and all they've done is they've filed a lawsuit and they show up at the court date and they say, judge or commissioner, you can dismiss the case. Our court system hasn't done anything on that case. And that justifies that shorter retention period. Likewise, the shorter periods of retention for stipulated cases and eviction cases that don't result in any money judgment are justified by the great impact that eviction record can have on a tenant's ability to find housing. We suggest keeping the 20-year retention period for cases which result in a money judgment, as obviously the landlord or plaintiff will have 20 years to collect on that money judgment. I think it's important to keep in mind that not only in Wisconsin, but throughout the nation, communities of color are disproportionately impacted by eviction filings. In Milwaukee County, people of color make up about 30% of the renters. They make up about 60% of the eviction actions that are filed. In Racine County, people of color make up about 10% of the renters. They make up about 20% of the evictions that are filed. It's the opposite numbers for white people. In Milwaukee, white people make up about 40% of the renters. They're 20% of the evictions. Racine, it's the same, almost the same numbers. So it's important to keep in mind that I think making these changes will not only have an impact throughout Wisconsin, but in particular communities of color that are being disproportionately impacted by these disproportionate amounts of eviction cases that are filed. In reading Judge Martin's comments to the petition and to our suggested rule changes, I have no doubt that this will increase the work of our clerks of court. I think everything in this petition as drafted may increase our clerks' work. But I think that should not be a barrier to the court adopting these proposed changes. Clerks are already doing a lot of work when it comes to eviction cases. As Judge Martin stated, a few years ago, the WCCA Oversight Committee recommended the shorter period of display for eviction cases on the court's website. So there are plenty of cases where the court file still exists. I can go down to the courthouse and take a look at the file, but I can't find it if I'm doing that search online. I think reducing these retention periods that that file is destroyed makes it so that nobody can find that record. And we don't have to worry about having a different retention period for what shows up online versus what somebody can find at the courthouse. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions the court may have about our proposal. As I said, I think the retention periods that we looked at, we're looking at what is the shortest amount of time that an eviction case that is voluntarily dismissed or dismissed by a court really needs to be retained. And then also for those cases where there's a stipulation, it is very unlikely that landlords and tenants are going to enter into a stipulation in a case that lasts longer than a year, as the vast, vast, vast majority of leases in Wisconsin do not last longer than a year. Likewise, eviction cases which result in a judgment of eviction would only show up for 2 years. That too, I think, is a good policy because it will allow landlords to find those cases for a certain amount of time, but that won't be a permanent stain on the tenant's record as it is right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Just so I understand your presentation, are you asking us as a court to make this change or to refer it to Judge Martin's committee to further review and vet your request?
I think the court could certainly do either as it prefers. It could take up this suggestion and make a decision on it based on our request. If the court prefers to refer it to the subcommittee for further vetting, it can certainly do that as well. I think the court could do either.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our district court administrator, Teresa Owens.
May it please the court. Thank you, Chief Justice Rogensack and Justices. I have nothing to add. I am a member of Judge Martin's subcommittee and just here if there were any additional questions or anything I could add. So thank you.
Any further questions for Michael? Okay, so we'll come back around to you now, Judge Martin, since you were the presenter. And in regard to my question to Attorney Lundeen, is this something that the committee, your committee, could take up looking at how there might be a more shortened time limit for evictions that are dismissed? And then I think he also said evictions without a money judgment. So the eviction would still be granted. Is this something that your committee could take up and study? Or is this a CCAP issue? I guess that's really what I'm asking you.
Well, again, it very well may be one, the other, or both. First of all, anything that the Supreme Court would ask us to research and consider, we certainly would do that. I can't imagine why we wouldn't. First of all, but again, just I think the key is, again, remember the distinctions. I know that Attorney London did talk about it between the public display at through WCCA and then again the records retention otherwise. And you know, as far as you know, what people use to gather information when making decisions about entering into leases, for example, I would presume that 95%+ of people are using the public website to gather that information. They're not trying to track down, you know, records from individual courts or courthouses. So, anything we're asked to look at, I certainly think we would. As far as timing goes, and all that means is just, again, you know, the committee looking at it and then making a judgment. I mean, the judgment of the committee could very well be, we don't feel that, you know, the circumstances for, you know, all the reasons that we look at the pluses and minuses merits at least the subcommittee bringing some additional proposal back. And if that's the case, and I presume just like anyone else, other entities can bring their own separate petition. And again, if that were the case, it may be something the subcommittee could weigh in on or not, I guess, depending on how we might view it. But again, just focus, at least my focus is just on the records retention with regard to the case file and the other items I described earlier, not with regard to whether or not something should be out for public display, or if so, for how long.
Yes, correct. Okay, well, that's a good answer. It's a very interesting question. And of course, Legal Action in Wisconsin could file its own petition. Certainly, they're well aware and work in this area every day. And then perhaps if it's filed, we might yet ask your committee to weigh in anyway. So that's helpful. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any other questions for Judge Martin? Okay, well, thank you again. I mean, this was just an amazing job. When I went through it, you have to have a great attention to detail to be able to put this together. And it's really very readable, which is another thing that's quite amazing, to go through all of these different statutes. So you did absolutely a great job. And we thank you, and please thank everybody on your committee. I know it was a lot of work. We will now conclude this hearing on petition 2008 and take a brief break while we get those ready for rule petition 2009. Thank you very much.